Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
We are excited to have Dr. Justin Fiala. I got that right, didn't I, Justin? Fiala.
Yeah, you got it.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So you're at Northwestern, you're in pulmonology and critical care, you know a thing or two about COVID, and now they've hit record high numbers in March, especially in Great Britain. Is that someplace we look to see what might be happening here?
Yeah, so excellent question. What we're seeing in Britain is a rise of one of these new variants and kind of the upswing from the other kind of preceding variant of Omicron. And so Britain, in this case, serves a similar kind of predictor role, potentially, as kind of what we saw at the beginning of Omicron coming from South Africa. And so it's not uncommon that if some of these countries that do more in-depth evaluations of different variants and kind of genetic sequencing of the virus, they end up ultimately finding these variants oftentimes before we know that they exist. And so they can definitely clue us in that sense and kind of give us a head start, especially if we haven't picked up any cases here yet, which has been the case so far in terms of the newest variant, this Omicron XE.
So BA2 was faster spreading than Omicron, and BA2 is now the dominant strain in the U.S. And XE, is that the dominant strain in Great Britain right now? Is that what most people are suffering from?
So no, actually. BA2, is my understanding, is still the prevalent variant in Britain at this point. But what they've seen is that XE, which is thought to be 10 times more transmissible than the BA2 variant, what they're seeing is that XE now has several hundred cases in Britain. And so when they model that out, what they're suspecting is that it very well could balloon to become the predominant variant.
Okay, so help me out with this, Doc. So BA2 spread faster than Omicron. Omicron spread faster than Delta. So this XE, if that is spreading 10 times faster than BA2, pretty hard to escape that, right?
Yeah, and correction, it's not, or just a little clarification, it's not 10 times faster, it's 10% faster.
Oh, 10%.
It is an increase, but not... not particularly to that extent. What I would say is, with each of these increases in transmissibility, it really behooves us to then think about, well, what does that mean from a societal level? What it means is that it's just going to be that much easier to unknowingly acquire the virus and pass it along. And so what I tell people is, listen, if you have any reason to want to protect yourself extra, whether that's because you are advanced in age, whether you have some condition that makes you either take medications to be immune suppressed, or a condition that makes you immune suppressed in and of itself, or you have young kids with you who can't be vaccinated, or you care for elderly loved ones who would otherwise be at risk. In any of those cases, my sense is this virus has thrown us for a loop over and over again over the last few years. And so I don't put anything past it. And so along those lines, what I would say is, you know, when we don't know exactly what to say about the potential badness of these new variants, let's play it safe. And so if you have any reason at all to think that, you know, you're at an increased risk, the safest thing you can do is keep doing all of the things that have been advised to date. You know, making sure that you're fully vaccinated and boosted. And if you are immune suppressed or elderly, getting that second booster. On top of that, considering, you know, still trying to avoid indoor spaces that are poorly ventilated. You know, the important thing to remember with COVID is that it is an airborne virus. This is worse than the flu, which is kind of droplet spread. Airborne means that it lingers in the air for a very long time, even after, you know, the person who coughed it out has left. And so along those lines, it behooves us to continue masking in cases where we think we're going to be in close contact with people. So things like public transit, if you're going to a theater, for instance, all of those things would put you at risk for, you know, again, acquiring and potentially passing on these really transmissible variants. And so I think it becomes important, again, to remember, even though there may not be governmental mandates for masks. There still very well may be personal reasons why people are still masking up. And so along those lines, there has been a decent amount of animosity, occasionally for people who are still masking. And I would just ask that the public, recognize that you never know the struggles that someone else is going through, what their circumstances may be. And so always assume that if someone is masking, if someone is being extra cautious about, not coming to an event or something else, that we should give them the benefit of the doubt. And ultimately, in my mind, that's enough reason for me to mask up just to prevent myself from becoming an unwitting transmitter of the virus.
And working in pulmonology and critical care at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, there's no way you were able to escape getting it, right?
Actually, shocker. So I have not tested positive to date.
Me neither. Yeah. And there was a doctor out of North Korea or South Korea last week, and he goes, "Let me just tell you, if you haven't had COVID, you don't have any friends." And I thought, oh, please, somebody take his medical license.
Right? Yeah, exactly. How rude. What I would say is, anecdotally and from studies that have come out, since the start of the pandemic, we were very fortunate to have Northwestern as an institution behind us the entire time, providing adequate PPE, protective equipment. And so because we were very meticulous about putting on the PPE and always making sure that we were protecting ourselves, I would say the vast majority, actually, of people within our division of pulmonary critical care did not actually end up getting the virus,
awesome.
At least not from work exposures. And so that's where I say this virus is sneaky, right? But if we protect ourselves in the ways that we know mitigate the spread, we really can make a significant difference.
Dr. Justin Fiala from Northwestern. So we know the mayor of D.C., the speaker of the House, the attorney general. Now they're worried about President Biden because he has had exposure. All of them have tested positive, but because they've been vaccinated, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good prognosis, right?
That's the hope, yeah. And certainly what we've seen is that when you're vaccinated, and especially vaccinated and boosted, that the risk of ending up in the hospital or ending up in danger of, losing your life because of COVID is significantly less. So far and away, the best thing that people can do for themselves, for their loved ones, is to get vaccinated. Now, that said, what we don't know, what we really still do not have a good grasp on, is what's the risk of acquiring long COVID, some of these long hauler syndromes, which is anything from, long-term vascular issues to shortness of breath that won't quit, sleep issues. I mean, we've seen a whole gamut of symptoms arise. And so from that standpoint, too, I think this virus should be looked at as a wild card. And I would say that anything that you can do to prevent your chances of having to deal with those, long-term issues, for me, the trade-off of just wearing a mask, whenever I go out, is worth it.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Fiala. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Time for traffic and weather with Mary.